BetOnline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best. From cutting-edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of. All major sporting events are covered by BetOnline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. BetOnline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's The Hump. It is October 2nd, 2024. It is spooky season. I am Sean Ross Sapp. We have Jimmy Van here, and we have, quite frankly, two things to talk about today. We have a WBD AEW deal, which I'm originally I was told would be coming a little bit earlier in the day. Now, maybe a little bit later in the day. If it comes after this show, which I do expect, there's a chance I might do another quick stream or something like that. Answer your super chats, humper chats. But we are here to do that now. So if you got any questions or statements that you want read on the air, super chats here at youtube.com/Fightful or humper chats at humperchats.com. Of course, I will be back here tonight, AEW post show, talking about all that stuff. We got Bad Blood on Saturday, Grapsody celebrating their 3 year on Saturday. Me and Jimmy are going to be on at the top of that show, like Shawn Michaels and Triple H, taking all the credit for Grapsody. Are you ready? As their audience is like, get the hell off our show. Jimmy, how you doing?
Think I can get you in that CM Punk referee costume there at the beginning of the show, Sean?
So that's what's going to happen is as they celebrate their 3 year thing, I'm going to hit a go to sleep on Reg as the show ends
and with confetti, falling. Yeah.
But I'm getting everybody pizza. So
very nice. Very nice.
And listen, that is good pizza. I love Lou Malnati's. I'm a sucker for him.
Oh, really?
They hooked me up when I was in Chicago a few years ago. And it was funny because they hooked me up and then an AEW wrestler saw it and they're like, damn, that looks good. And I hit up one of my buddies who helps do brand deals for a lot of them. And he ended up getting all of them pizza.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Wild.
There's people saying that I look like I'm in Vince's old office. Not even close.
You need a big T-Rex on the wall.
Yeah, there's no T-Rex on the wall. All I have is LJNs and this is Muhammad Ali painting behind me and that's it.
I was going to say the big rubber figures that Jimmy keeps in his office are categorically different than those of what we know Vince McMahon. Although some of them may share the same names based on what we've heard.
Very possible. Nice, nice thought process. Sean.
His hillbilly Jim and your hillbilly Jim are way different.
Yeah,
but leave a thumbs up, share this video. We would greatly appreciate that. Get your super chats and humper chats in. Last plug here. Did an interview with Britt Baker yesterday. We talked about internet criticism and all that. I didn't outright ask about like MJF and stuff like that, but those are things that, you know, I knew that weren't, quite frankly, I was kind of giving the heads up that's not going to be answered. So I wasn't going to really dig into that, but we also
total knowledge. She knows her shit.
Oh yeah, she knows her shit. I mean, listen,
I was impressed by that.
I have needled her here and there about football, and she knows her stuff.
She knows. Like, yeah. It's very.
She
like,
definitely
I'm,
does.
I'm not a football fan, and I don't know much at all. She really knows her stuff, and I know you do, but I was impressed that she knows all that.
Yeah. So somebody says SRS, your mic is cutting out. Is my mic cutting out?
Not for me.
Interesting. Somebody said, because somebody's saying, is audio okay? Listen, I'll do what I can. Yeah, that's what people are saying.
I haven't noticed it.
It looks all right. Let me know if it keeps going. I have adjusted my cord. It is a brand new cord on this new microphone, but apologize for that, guys. Also, I want to apologize. FightfulSelect.com, we had an update today. Very good update on AEW WBD. I didn't write that myself. I trusted somebody that I shouldn't have to do that. We will definitely do better about that moving forward. I can't do much about when Patreon has errors, but that was completely producer-based on that one. And we will do better. Obviously, Fightful Select, $5 a month, $54 a year. Let's talk about one of the big pieces of news that we are definitely going to be talking about more later today and tonight on the AEW post show. The deal is done. AEW and WBD, multi-year deal. Based on what I have heard so far, and I want to also make sure Andrew Zarian needs his flowers. That man on Beyond the Bell, on Mat Men Radio, the level of work that he has done there. What you are going to see, I assure you, whenever it gets leaked to a mainstream media thing, they're going to have a whole bunch of stuff that Andrew Zarian had months ago. And people are going to say, well, this is why it used the mainstream media, even though he reported it months ago across a variety of platforms. But it looks like Collision and Dynamite continue. Rampage is not featured in the materials that I heard of. And it appears that Collision and Dynamite will be simulcast on Max, which is a big deal for AEW. And the pay-per-views will be featured on Max in some capacity. Now, I don't know if they're included. It was hinted to me that if you have Max, you'll be able to get the pay-per-views at a discounted rate as opposed to that. I don't have the exact info on that one yet. We will have it today, obviously. FightfulSelect.com has a bunch of details on that, so subscribe. But Jimmy, what are your initial thoughts?
I mean, it's everything that we've talked about. You know, like you and I was telling Sean off the air, I'm so glad they're announcing this today because this has gone on forever.
I'm so sick of it.
Yeah. But it's everything that you and I have talked about. We've talked about how I suspect it's going to be a 3-hour Dynamite, especially if there's no Rampage involved. They've been testing a 3-hour slot over and over and over again. That's not by accident. The simulcasting makes a lot of sense because Warner Brothers needs to try to maintain subscribers. It's a very competitive market in the streaming world. That makes a lot of sense. And something that's great about this, that means that as of January, when this deal kicks in, TV ratings don't mean shit.
Oh, I'm so excited. You know what I mean? So yesterday we got early reports from Nielsen and I saw people saying like, oh my God, did Tony pay him off or something? No, Nielsen reported those ratings and they were incredibly low. And they're going to be up next week because Raw isn't going to have that third hour.
Right.
But I mean, football is a juggernaut. Yep. It is an absolute juggernaut. And I am excited for Raw to be on Netflix because one, hopefully it increases popularity, leads to increased business for us. And I'm excited for AEW to be on Max because one, it eliminates ratings discourse. I don't know if you guys have been able to tell. I am not much of a ratings guy or an attendance guy unless attendance or ratings are so great that it's, wow, good job, guys, or so bad that it's like, oh my God, this could be very, very bad. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't really care about that stuff. I'll report the news as we need it, but ratings discourse is just so frustrating. I always hated quarter hour talk too, because segments don't always start and end at the top of quarter hours, so it's really hard to measure that. I am very excited to not have that, like for Raw or for Dynamite, but this much I'll tell you. I would not have been able to tell you the Raw viewership for the last 2 months because I don't handle those articles, but I'd be able to tell you the Dynamite viewership because all kinds of people just, that's the discourse and what they talk about. Listen, AEW is getting a deal and it is going to make them profitable. Mm-hmm. People are already trying to do the mental gymnastics around, yeah, but there was this. No, they're going to be profitable with this deal. And let me tell you, I think the deal is worth more than what was even reported. I think it's more than that. And then they've got their exclusivity back. They've got their ability to make money in other avenues like that. There are a lot of options right now for AEW. They're talking with Fox. They have been talking with Fox. Fox has been interested in a show. obviously this and the Vince McMahon documentary is what we're going to be spending our time on today. But there's a whole lot of wheels in motion here, Jimmy.
Talk to me about Swerve Strickland. Talking to that guy. He didn't know there was a camera there, apparently, or he didn't know it was being vlogged.
He didn't.
Where he said, we're going to be on Fox.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was him jumping the gun. One person that I talked to was like, yeah, I had to put my phone in my pocket and just turn it off after that. They were a little bit, you know, like, ah, come on. But he didn't know a camera was there. It was him talking with his friends. Just, you know, unfortunate. But this is something that we had reported on. We had reported that not only was AEW talking to Fox, they had talked to MLW years ago. They were about to announce a deal, which is what led to the lawsuit. And there was a seasonal format show. The relationship with WWE and Fox, I'm told, towards the end was fine. They didn't have a good relationship with the McMahon family specifically.
Right. And Vince probably specifically, right? I mean,
well, yeah, here's what happened. They paid all this money to basically for WWE to be a loss leader for what they do. As Andrew Zarian has pointed out, it's a lead-in for the news, so what the hell? But within a month or two, Vince isn't showing up at the shows anymore, and there's not a lot of care being given to the show. They didn't feel like there was the appropriate attention given. And they're like, does he even care about this? Then the pandemic hit, and Vince was there all the time, and they were like, well, this is a monkey's paw, because now we see how bad it is with Vince. And within a year or two, that relationship was bad. Like, 2021, they were already trying to bring MLW to Tubi. And I know that people kind of scoffed at Tubi, but like, it is the ultimate cable cutter platform, no subscription required. But they have since, you know, had a pretty decent relationship with WWE, from what I understand. And there isn't, or at least from the people I heard from at Fox, isn't that, you know, that bad taste in their mouth. And they liked wrestling. And they had no problem selling ads, is what Andrew Zarian had heard as well. But for the amount that they were paying, yeah, that was a little bit difficult. Now, if they add a new show from AEW, a lot of it depends what night, what time slot,
what channel.
People already aren't watching Collision. I mean, okay, I say people aren't already watching Collision. It was still third in entertainment on, you know, on Saturday. So as far as rankings go, that's still pretty nice, but that's a lot of ask for a wrestling audience. So that will be very interesting to watch unfold.
Yeah. And we talked about this a week or two ago. So I don't know if the intention is Fox or FS1, but if I'm Tony Khan, I mean, look at NXT, right? NXT's got the new deal with the CW, and I believe they're only getting like $25 million a year, I think.
Yeah.
Like not a ton of money. If I'm Tony Khan, if I can get on Fox Network, forget FS1. If I can get on Fox Network, just take what you can get. You know what I mean?
Three in the afternoon on a Saturday, take it. Doesn't matter.
But what I'm saying is financially. So like, don't nickel and dime for that deal, because if you can get on Fox Network, that's massive exposure for that company. If they can.
Well, as I was mentioning to you off the air, like the people I talked to at WBD were putting over Tony. They're like, honestly, a lot of us expected him to just take the first deal that got thrown at him, and he did not. Tony was negotiating, and Tony got a really good deal for this. Now, it is not what WWE is getting, but
right.
Tony Khan and AEW got a really good deal for this, and the numbers that we were hearing were at least double. And I saw somebody say, well, you can't dunk on somebody unless you get the numbers. It's a private company.
Right.
And unless those numbers get leaked somehow, not going to emerge, but they're doing well off of this deal. A reminder, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. JM says, does Max also have global streaming rights to AEW? Max is set to launch in Philippines, Southeast Asia. Would be nice to watch AEW somewhere regular. Each one of those deals will be done differently. Each territory is negotiated in a separate manner. There are some deals that can have those all encompassing, but
somebody asked me that on Twitter, and I compare it to the Netflix deal with WWE, where SmackDown's going to be on USA, but in Canada and in the UK, SmackDown's going to be on Netflix.
Sure, just
negotiated differently. So maybe it will end up being on Max in these other countries, but I believe today's announcement is US, or do you not know for sure?
I believe it's U.S. I believe it's U.S. That's why it was so weird to me that people were like, oh, they're going to announce it at All In. I'm like, why? What? That was like when Dixie Carter hyped up this big announcement. And then she does this YouTube video and she goes, we are thrilled to announce TNA with Sony 6 in India.
Right.
People are like, who cares outside of India?
Yeah.
DNC Digital says, since some AEW wrestlers are allowed to take indie dates, how does AEW financially protect themselves from paying talent who were injured elsewhere? Well, in one case, they cut a guy and then brought him back, but they don't. That's a perk of the contract, is that you can take those dates and it will, you know, you'll be pretty well protected. And if you don't have the salary that you would like, well, you have that benefit. You have your travel and hotel paid for. That's a thing that you have to take into consideration. Like, WWE talent are still paying their cars and hotels. AEW talent are not paying their hotels. AEW has covered that quite a bit. And they can also take indie dates. They can take signings. So you can push up that salary quite a bit.
I imagine that, and you'll know more about this than me, but I imagine it's probably case by case depending on the talent too. Like, if you're John Moxley, and if you get injured doing GCW versus if you're a guy newcomer on the roster at the bottom of the card who gets injured doing an indie date, they're taking care of Mox, but you're not necessarily getting covered if you're that new talent, correct? Or do you think they're going to cover everybody?
If they're under contract, they're covered.
Medically and everything, yeah?
Yeah. Well, medically, I don't know. That's one I should probably find out. But yeah, that is one of the benefits of working there. RJ Suburbs says, to quote Fightful Kate, put AEW on Fox at SmackDown slot. People are creatures of habit. That's why when people said, oh, well, will WWE ever move off Mondays? I don't think they ever will until they have to. But if they did, somebody else would move into Monday.
For sure.
Yeah.
I want to say one other thing about this AEW deal. So one, I guess, piece of discourse that I have seen, because you and I talked off the air a little bit about, once this deal is announced, the haters are going to look for something else to complain about. Like, for you, yeah, for example, you said, oh, WWE's getting more. One thing that I've seen some people talk about on their YouTube channels is, well, you know, the reported $170 million that they might get doesn't mean they're profitable.
They are profitable. So, they would be absolutely profitable based on that number.
I was going to say, according to Brandon Thurston, and I really trust Brandon's numbers. He does really good estimates and really puts things together. He said that they were getting like 90 on their current deals. And I think he said that they lost like 50 or something in 23. If you do the math, and if they're getting between 170 and 200, they are profitable. Yep. I mean, they are. So it's just accept it. If you don't like it, it is what it is. Accept it.
C. Delgado says, is ROH included in this new deal in any way? The news that I heard was to be released today did not include a mention of ROH. It's now October. Are Dustin Rhodes or Daniel Garcia officially free agents? Do you have any updates on them both? I will ask about both. Quite honestly, I'm sure Dustin will just tell me. He doesn't give a shit. He really doesn't care. Daniel is definitely more private about his. This is an assumption. I would imagine that Daniel Garcia is going a respectable route and waiting until his deal is up to field an offer, which I don't think you really have to do. But, you know, for all the talk that, and I mentioned this in the Lucha Brothers thing, people are talking about contract tampering. It's not a contract tampering thing. It would be a torturous interference thing if you had a guy with months or years on his deal, and then you said, oh, well, we're going to offer you a deal, so breach your current deal. Mm. That's where the issue would arise, not, hey, are you under contract? I saw a lot of people bring that up about Swerve too, because Swerve said, oh yeah, well, they reach out to my representation. Swerve's talking about the most recent time that WWE reached out, because originally they reached out to him and he said years ago, talk to my representation. And then they reached out again to his representation to find out. So with BR moving my past pay-per-view buys to Triller, indication old pay-per-view shows won't be on Max. That I don't know. I didn't see anything in that one. But I do think it's good that Bleacher Report is integrating their past pay-per-view buys to Triller. Listen, I love Triller. Triller is great to us. They don't get mad when I promote NordVPN.com/Fightful, which I'll be doing very shortly, which, again, if you have any questions about how to watch anything, where to watch anything, just get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You'll save a bunch of money. But I don't know if a library is worked in. Now, if the library isn't worked in and I were AEW, I would rebrand Honor Club and just put your library on there or something. Have a place to sell that library if you can. But
I mean, it seems like the no-brainer. If they're going to be simulcasting Dynamite and Collision, I assume they're going to keep, say, the previous versions of Dynamite after they start airing anyway. They're going to keep them on Max. I assume they're not going to disappear.
Yeah.
So it would make sense to add the library there.
David Carner sent a very generous humper chat. Thank you so much. He said, thank you for all you do. I appreciate you so much. Hey, man, we're reporting wrestling gossip. We ain't exactly saving lives here, but I appreciate you anyway. He says, wish they'd tell me where Wrestle Dream is going to be shown so I know if I can buy the pay-per-view or if it will stream on Max. Well, it is available on Triller. But there's a lot to this deal. Like, because of the nature of the deal, it wouldn't surprise me if some of it just kicked in January 1st. That's when I hear the simulcast will, because they do have a deal through the end of the year. A lot of people forget their original deal was like a short-term week-to-week deal. And then they got, they proved themselves and got their deal in January of 2020. And boy, they could not have got that at a better time. Mm-hmm. But as far as the pay-per-view, because they don't necessarily have a thing nailed down about like their pay-per-view location, like I wouldn't be surprised to see that popping up on Max in a couple weeks, but we'll find out. We'll have that info probably today. I would imagine we have that info today. But how's AEW's morale with lower attendance? Any changes to try to increase local advertising weeks before the event? Yes, there is. For example, if you see my interview with Britt Baker, she was in Pittsburgh. She was dressed up in her Pittsburgh Steelers stuff. That's because she was doing media rounds all over Pittsburgh the day before. They have done really, really good with like the last week ticket sales. Like
Walk up and all that. Yeah.
Walk up and all that stuff. They had Mercedes, even though they didn't have her wrestle on the show. They had her doing local media, a lot of things like that. So on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, I've started to do a feature called Select Answers where I will type out some of the Q&A answers. And one of them is a thing I brought up like 100 times. And I wish they would run more intimate venues, but I have asked a number of times why they don't. Mailing lists, amenities, the ease of running production out of those better venues. And also a lot of like bands that I go see at Rupp Arena, they tarp off half the arena as well, and they just run that because it's the most appropriate venue. It has parking. It has restaurants nearby. It has a hotel that connects to the venue. Like, there's a lot of reasons for running the nicer venues as opposed to smaller, intimate ones. But personally, Jimmy, I do have an affinity for, like, Raw at the Manhattan Center and Shotgun Saturday Night and that type of gritty thing. I think that's what they should do if they're doing something with Shockwave. I think it should be something like that. Or they turn ROH into their own PWG. Since PWG ain't running, make it your own super indie like that, as opposed to, well, here's another dark. But
I think, so if I'm Tony Khan, think about what NXT's doing with St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
So they had gotten really ambitious with the venue that they booked. I think they booked like a 15,000-18,000 seat venue.
Yeah.
That they would typically run Raw or SmackDown. Weren't doing the ticket sales, and they moved the show to a smaller venue. I don't think it would be a bad idea for Tony to do something like that. If you're booking like a big venue that can do 15,000 plus and you've sold 2,000 tickets, it gives it a certain aesthetic on television. Even if you move everybody to opposite the hard cam, it gives it a certain aesthetic. In a situation like that, I don't see the problem with moving it to a smaller venue, making it look better. But otherwise, I'm with you in that everything that you talked about, that just better production value, better amenities. I never even thought about restaurants nearby, but that's valid too.
Yeah.
And hotel and parking and all those things. That all makes sense. So again, it should be case by case, I think, depending on just how a show is doing. I mean, NXT this week, I think they drew over 7,000 to Chicago. So they kept it where they kept it.
They did not draw 700,000 people in Chicago.
7,000. Did I say
you seven? Said, I think it's 700,000. Listen,
did I?
That'd been a lot of pizza for CM Punk.
I thought I said 7,000, but anyway, they're not drawn big. Last I looked for St. Louis next week, so they moved it. They want to still have that look, right? So there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Stard says, you say you're not saving lives, but donate all the revenue this week to charity. You both are the best. That's why I love FIFO. Yes, personally, me, the amount of super chats we get, I will donate to the Hurricane Relief Fund this week through Bad Blood. So make sure you guys get those in.
I wanted to ask about Cass.
He's doing okay. Yeah.
So I was
Cassidy really, from yeah, Body Slam.
Yeah. 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 All right. So I noticed on Twitter, he told Kate that he didn't have internet. And I was curious because I heard Musk was sending a bunch of Starlink out there. So I was curious if he got access to that.
We'll see. I hope so. There were a lot of people asking about our good friend Cassidy Haynes. His local area is in very rough condition. He's doing okay. Listen, guys, I'm going to be real. Nothing can kill Cassidy Haynes. If anything could have killed Cassidy Haynes, it would have by now. If you can survive a Waffle House trip with Cassidy Haynes, you can live through anything. I almost died from COVID twice, and I was like, you know what? I'm probably good because I've been to Waffle House with Cass. So we're all right there. Guys, get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. We have one from Nulak City who says, let's be real, guys. The AEW is going to die. Trolls are really excited. They have more years to make money off anti-AEW engagement content. So please post yourself as executive producer at the end of the Grap City podcast. Oh, man. I mean, it started off with they're not a real company. They are a t-shirt company. Well, no, actually, no. It started off with these guys can't sell 10,000. And it wasn't even like a rude thing. It was just Meltzer, I think, being realistic.
It was. I don't think he meant any ill
intent. No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people ran with that. Well, basically an ROH and Friends show did over that immediately. Then it was, oh, they're a t-shirt company. And then it was, they won't get a TV deal. And then it was, oh, well, they won't keep a TV deal. Yeah.
Money Mark. That was a big one.
Then it was, they won't get another TV deal and they won't survive this. And they are. They're going to be around. They're going to be around for a very long time. Did you see the thing where Billy Corgan said, like, his big announcement was, as long as I own NWA, it's not going anywhere. And all the people quote tweeted and said, you can say that again.
Nice. Nice. Nice.
Jesus. Poor guy.
I feel like we were broken records on this, but I just want to reiterate, if you don't like AEW, you don't have to watch it, but it's better for the business in general. It's better that the talent have alternatives. It makes the industry healthier. And I believe in competition. I believe that it keeps Hunter on his toes a little bit. And even Shawn Michaels, because there is a lot of similarities between AEW and NXT. So I think it's good to have a competitor there. If you don't like it, just don't watch it.
By all means, I mean, AEW or WWE, I think, has a very good product right now, a very good show right now. And for a lot of people, that's all they wanted was WWE to be better. So if they see that and they go more towards WWE, well, hey, good. I mean, that's a success for their business. And WWE has now seen, as we will talk about when we review this documentary in a few minutes, I'm glad that they've highlighted, WWE is doing a lot better without Vince, because there you go.
Right.
Josh Morgan says, no question, enjoyed your content for a few years. Josh, thank you so much for the generous super chat.
That's very generous of you. For sure.
Thank you so much, Josh. I know that sometimes I can be a little obnoxious, but
a little.
I run the website. So.
A little.
You see how many people were coming after me over the Rob Schneider tweet?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Oh, I pay attention even when I don't tell you that I'm paying attention, Chuck.
That was a good tweet, though, wasn't it? That was a good one.
I mean, you know what? I will say in your defense, for someone to suggest that brain cancer and, you know what I'm saying? So, and Mutombo was
pretty stupid.
He was a legend with a family. So it's a stupid
thing. Absolutely. And man, we lost so many this week.
John Ashton, too.
John Amos, who I was familiar with through Die Hard 2. John Ashton from Beverly Hills Cop. I was so glad he was in that. Frank from American Pickers, Jimmy.
I wasn't familiar with that show, but yes, I saw that.
Oh, I love that. Listen, you watch American Pickers one time, you will start digging through your own garage.
Oh, yeah.
You will.
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely.
I just built my garage. I got nothing in there yet, Sean.
And Pete Rose in our local area. Listen, I absolutely do not advocate the scummy stuff that he was a part of, but a legend in our area.
So I got to tell you, I had just started watching. He has an HBO docuseries, Pete Rose.
Yeah.
And I had literally just watched the first episode, and it was the next day that the news came out of his passing. And my wife said, yeah, were you just watching that show yesterday? So yeah. I've told you my Pete Rose story, and I very quickly want to tell it. Sean knows I've got friends in the sports memorabilia world. And one night I was having dinner in Vegas, and I was having dinner with friends that are in that world. And suddenly somebody puts his hand on my shoulder, and I turn around and look, and it's Pete Rose, because he was friends with these people from the sports memorabilia world. And he was so cool to us. I know that he's got a certain reputation, and he could be abrasive at times. He was really cool with us, and we ended up getting prints of a picture that we took, and he autographed each one. I've got mine in a frame. I understand what he did in terms of the gambling and the lying and stuff, but in terms of what he did on the field, he should be in the Hall of Fame. And it's unfortunate that
it didn't. I don't even care that he gambled. Mine was, you know, the allegations of him sleeping with a minor. Like, that is,
I did not know this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, I don't give a shit about him gambling. That's the stuff that I was like,
I'm not even aware of that. I had no idea. Okay. I wonder if that's covered in the series.
D'Lo Diggs says, any reason why all the NWA content was moved off the CW app? I believe it's because the NXT deal is starting. Believe that. Viral moments, news, sports, and learning says, when a wrestler star is big enough, why not start reporting personal life news? News is news when someone is in the spotlight. It is, and sometimes it will get reported, but I run Fightful on a day-to-day basis, and I deem what I view as appropriate. Like, I understand that some of that stuff is going to get reported. I'll give you a good example. I reported about Kevin Nash's son passing away because that's something that he trusted us with to break. I reported the Luchasaurus thing this week. Which, get well soon to him, because that's something that he and his representation trusted us to break. However, there have been times, like Mia Yim has posted publicly that I knew about Keith Lee's illness. Mm-hmm. And instead of running the story, I reached out to him and said, listen, this is your guys to break. Pregnancies, like the Becky Lynch thing, I don't think that's mine to break. I understand if other outlets aren't the same way, and that's, you know, that's their own thing. As long as, you know, it's not scummy, I'm not going to like finger wag them for how they run it, but I get to decide what goes on at Fightful, like as far as a content standpoint. And that's where I personally draw the line. And I've always said this, you can argue that none of it is any of our business, but ultimately I'm like sort of the final say on most of that stuff. So
I want to add,
I understand what you're saying.
I want to add to that. So I agree with you, and I don't like being like paparazzi. So, yes. So I'm not an entertainment news guy. Like, I've never cared about Entertainment Tonight or any of this shit. And a big reason why is I don't like the paparazzi stuff. I don't care if so-and-so is dating so-and-so and so-and-so cheats, has an affair with so-and-so. That's their business. And you know, if they want to do something like, say, remember when CJ Perry and Rusev, they went public on their engagement?
Yeah.
That's different, right? That's different. But if it's a situation where it's their business and they want to keep it their business, I don't like being paparazzi. I just don't.
And yeah, and I work in the news business. I remember when I was a little kid, I didn't like paparazzi. I remember at my birthday party when I was a little kid, the thing that people were talking about was Princess Diana died this weekend. It happened. We found out at my birthday party. And it was because the paparazzi chasing them and all that stuff.
Yes, exactly right. Yes.
And I was always like, how is that normal? Right. How is that normal?
Right.
But I appreciate the super chat. And listen, that is a subject I could talk about all day. I could talk about media in general all day. But by God, we have other stuff. Who would you like to see join the Hurt Business in AEW? EJ Nduka is a big one. And listen, I just want to say, as we're about to review this series, so much respect for EJ Nduka and him saying what he said. He's like, yeah, while Vince McMahon was busy giving people hush money, he was cutting a whole bunch of us from his roster. So there you go.
And a lot of it too. A lot of it too, man.
Somebody says, when you report engagements, weddings, why not the divorce? Thank you for the transparency. We do if they announce it.
Right.
It is, to me, especially like when we're talking about who's dating, who's sleeping together, not my business.
Yeah, if I feel that way too.
They're themselves. I'm fine with that. Like, whatever.
Like, the last thing we need is to have somebody camped out in whatever town they're in for a show with a camera waiting to take a shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't need any of that.
Yep, indeed. We've got, have you heard any feeling about in NXT about Julia losing? Have they lost faith in her? No, absolutely not. It was a story crutch to get them to Cora Jade versus Julia. Julia is just starting. She's got to get accustomed to things. She's going to help carry that division. Stephanie Vaquer, Julia, and Delta are going to help carry that division.
So, you have to also remember that Julia is the newcomer.
Yeah.
And so it's not a huge surprise that on her first night in, do you necessarily want her winning the title? Like it doesn't surprise me.
Craig Robinson says, hello guys, you know the AEW Plus subscriber numbers on Twitter or Triller? No, I do not. He says, I've been subscribed since day one. Haven't seen anyone discuss this. Much love from Scotland. Get those receipts ready, SRS. A lot of the people that were talking trash were so far long ago. It's going to take me forever to go through my bookmarks. But no, I don't have that information. I'll try to find out.
By the way, I see a lot of people talking about John Amos, who passed away. I love Coming to America. Him and Coming to America, the first one. I love it. His role in that was great. McDowell's.
Brokely Hathaway says, understanding that you're two white dudes, LOL. I do respect both of you for your wrestling opinions. I'd love to get your thoughts on the WWE black male talent on PLEs. I appreciate the conversation as a POC, but it feels like it's veering into gotcha things. A lot of the criticisms on social media you'll see is faux outrage. But listen, when you look up and down the card, WWE should absolutely be pushing more black singles male talent. They absolutely should. That's not like a thing where it's like, oh, well, there's none qualified. Yes, there are absolutely talent that are qualified there. That's where I land on that. I think that some of this is a product of the cards shortening as well. But still, like 2 years, Snoop Dogg is your last black singles male talent to win a match on pay-per-view.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
So I want to ask if you've heard about this. So yesterday on Twitter, when we were talking about this topic, I put over Montez Ford. And how many years have I been putting over Montez Ford on this podcast?
Many years.
4 or 5 years.
Many years.
Some people responded to me on Twitter and said that Montez Ford has requested not to split from Dawkins. Do you know if that's
true? I don't know about that. I know
that, because wouldn't it be career suicide to not take that opportunity? If
Bianca has said that he feels guilty sometimes about considering a singles run, but listen, man, I think Angelo Dawkins is going to be, he's going to be just fine.
Right. Montez Ford, to me, man, you talk about looks like a star, carries himself like a star, elite level athleticism. I don't know how he hasn't gotten a shot. They got the little taste in the Elimination Chamber last year. That's it. And I just don't know how he hasn't gotten the opportunity. And like I said, a lot of people responded to me and said, oh, Montez in an interview said he doesn't want to break up the team.
Yeah. So. Dave said that Shockwave could be on a Tuesday or Thursday. Do you think Collision could move nights after NBA on TNT or stay on Saturday? I hope they get off Saturdays. I really do. But I think Thursday is a prime spot for them. I would stay off Friday. I would stay off Saturday if I could. But no matter where you are, I'll tell you what you should get into. There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful. What we will do is any non Vince Doc questions I will save to the end. I know Jimmy has like a bit more of a hard out at three. So we are getting to those. So this person, this and this. Don't worry. I will get to those at the end of this show. And here's a reminder, FightfulSelect.com. I have an Ask SRS thing up constantly on our Discord, and I do a Q&A every week. The Vince McMahon docuseries, I got it all watched in one day, a lot of it on the way to New York last week. Listen, since then we have found out, or not we found out, but Bill Simmons has said, we made this for a broad audience, not a hardcore wrestling audience. But I was talking to somebody today, and I brought up a tweet, and I think it perfectly sums up the documentary. And it said, casual viewers are saying, I can't believe he did all this sick shit. And then hardcore wrestling fans are saying, I can't believe they left out so much of the sick shit he's doing.
Really?
I mean, yes.
What kind of stuff did they think was left out?
He did. It was a fucking summary tweet, Jimmy. What are we talking about?
Okay.
It wasn't a dissertation. Like that, which they did have a woman on the documentary who wrote a dissertation, then published it as a book, like I think in the 90s. And that was the one thing that I was like, huh? Where she was like, I think Vince will be back because it's heat. And heat can be, I was like, no, he ain't coming back.
She kind of sounded like that, Sean. Good job. She kind of sounded like that.
And I was all right. But how are you feeling about the documentary? In summary, I thought they did a pretty good job from a broad base. They hopped around. They went back and forth a lot. Like, I've rewatched it with my wife, and I was like, man, they've jumped around quite a bit. But I thought they did a pretty good job, but there were some pretty glaring omissions, as Jake saying, big omission was no Jim Ross. He should have been interviewed, but wasn't. Have you heard why Nick Khan's name wasn't mentioned in the doc? They haven't even bring him up when talking about WWE's succession plan. Well, buddy, I think because he is the succession plan is probably why he wasn't brought up, in my opinion.
I can give my hunch.
Go ahead.
My hunch is plausible deniability.
There you go.
That's my hunch.
And that's why this person is saying, why have Steph and Hunter gotten off easy with the Vince stuff? Steph walked away from WWE twice. Hunter is the son-in-law. And was around Vince a lot. Not only that, Vince and Linda, what a weird marriage they have. Yes, they, I mean, the marriage that they have is she looked the other way with a lot of horrible shit he was doing for whatever reason. But it seems like a large reason that was because he was bankrolling her political career for quite some time, among other things. But
I think that she had a financial incentive, not just the political stuff, but she was the CEO.
Of course.
So I got to say, I've never, so years ago, you know, I used to work with a lot of old timers in the business. Right. And I used to hear a lot of things about certain people, and two people that I always heard nothing but good things about, Linda McMahon and Shane McMahon. Old timers would tell me that, like, Linda and Shane. And I think Stephanie is pretty well liked too.
However, if, and this is a complete hypothetical, not only have I never heard of you mistreating anybody, I know that you haven't. Mm-hmm. But if I had heard that for years and years and years and years and years and kept doing direct business with you, it seems like an awful lot of just her looking the other way. With the Stephanie thing, I mean, I think her walking away was part of plausible deniability as well. But then you have her coming out there and doing that. Thank you, Vince. Like, she knew. She knew that these allegations were coming.
Yeah.
I would, if I were her, I would have said, hell no, I ain't doing that. There's no way I would be doing that.
Yeah. Giving out
the, well, let's cheer for him. They covered about how after the allegations, Dave even said it was an F you to all those people. We had reported, I had completely forgotten about this report I published on Fightful Select. He walked through the back and screamed, fuck him.
Yeah.
Which really highlights this, but.
Well, let's take it from the top. And we'll just summarize just a general summary of everything. So for me, I'll echo what you said. I thought that Netflix did a great job from a research perspective. Obviously, Bill Simmons being involved, he's a longtime wrestling fan. He knows more than the average Netflix producer would probably know. And I was impressed that they covered even things that you wouldn't even consider, like the curtain call. You know, the curtain call, which is something you wouldn't think about. I didn't know.
It was a bit of like a history of WWE, a Cliff's Notes of WWE type of thing.
Too. Yes, yes. I didn't know if they were going to cover the Chris Benoit tragedy or not. And so I thought it was good they did because I thought they should have. What did you think of Stone Cold Steve Austin saying he doesn't believe in CTE?
I could not believe that. Like, Jimmy, I've trained in the past and all that stuff. And I remember the first time that I got a concussion and knew I had a concussion. It was a freak accident. And I immediately said, I don't know if I'm going to train like this anymore because I could feel it. And I had post-concussion syndrome and it changed my life for like a year and a half.
Yep.
And even to this day, there are still little glimpses of that. And I'm like, how on earth after what? And he's usually got his finger on the pulse. Mm-hmm. He's usually on top of things. Steve Austin's a smart guy. I was shocked that he said that.
I was too. There have been so many examples of football players who commit suicide and they analyze their brain and they find they had a lot of damage. And with Chris Benoit, obviously, I'm not going to defend what he did, but he had a ton of brain damage, according to Chris Nowinski as well. And I was surprised Steve said that. Like you said, he's been around the business. But as I will say, as a longtime wrestling fan, you know, I was a fan of the 80s. If you already knew about the rise of WWE in the 80s, Vince taking over, bringing in Hogan, all through the Attitude Era, all of that. If you already knew all of that, you're not going to learn anything new. Kind of like what Bill Simmons said about it's more for casuals. You're not going to learn anything new. Same thing with the scandals in the 90s. If you already knew about the steroid trial, the Mel Phillips ring boy stuff, the Terry Garvin stuff, the Rita Chatterton rape allegations, you're not going to learn anything new. If you're more of a casual fan, you will find it interesting. For me, I was curious going in to see how honest they were going to be, both the good and the bad of Vince McMahon.
I think Vince undermined it from the jump. Him saying, I don't know how much I want to let you in.
Well,
why did you even agree to it then?
I do think that they were pretty honest both ways because they did give Vince credit for the rise of the business. They gave him credit for his creative genius in his younger years. They gave him credit for his business acumen. He is the most influential figure in the history of pro wrestling. He is.
That when they ask about his legacy, I think that will be it. The shamed most influential person in the history of the business who again in his later years shamed creatively, shamed his own brand and shamed personally as a result of so many of those things.
And I want to say this, you know, Bruce Pritchard. So most of these interviews took place in 21 before the Janelle Grant allegations came out and before the NDA and Hush Money stuff came to light. But they brought Bruce Pritchard back in January of 24 and they interviewed him again.
A couple days before.
Yeah. And Bruce Pritchard was obviously very loyal to Vince. And he said he saw a rough cut of the documentary. He said that it was a hit piece. He called it bullshit. And he told a story. He said that people don't hear about the positives of Vince McMahon. And he said that Vince 20 years ago got his wife life-saving cancer treatment. I can understand, and you and I have talked about this before, I can understand if somebody has worked with this man for 20, 30, 40 years, if they owe their livelihood to him, if they owe, you know, opportunities in their career to him, I can understand them having that loyalty, whether it be a Pritchard, whether it be an Undertaker, John Cena, even The Rock in interviews lately has spoken positively about what Vince did for him in his career. I can understand that, but I will say the person in this docuseries who did the most damage to Vince was Vince.
Yeah.
Do you remember the scene, the part of his interview? And keep in mind, it was done in 21. So the Janelle Grant stuff hadn't come to light yet. But the NDAs and the hush money, all of that, that had all happened. It hadn't come to light yet, but it had all happened. And there's Vince McMahon sitting in the chair saying to Netflix, I have two computers in my head. And one computer tells me to say the right thing and to do the right thing. And the Netflix producer goes, what does the other computer say? He said, the other computer tells me to have a lot of fun and have sex.
And
why would you say that when you know that the NDAs happened and you know that you paid millions in hush money by that? Why would you say that? Like, that was stupid to say that.
I was shocked.
It was arrogant.
I'll tell you what was shocking to me. And you say arrogant. And I think that's a perfect example. The fact that Sable left WWF, they covered it. He pretended he couldn't remember the storyline, the lawsuit, anything. And then they cut back. And again, I've watched so much wrestling since then, I forgot that they had Stephanie yelling at her dad saying, she sued us for sexual harassment, for money. And Sable's just sitting there like,
she's lying across the desk, yeah.
Then Vince is grabbing all over her.
Oh, you make it
a storyline.
Yeah.
And then you hear about the Ashley Massaro thing. And I had completely forgotten about him throwing a drink on her and getting in her face in storyline and all this stuff. And you mentioned plausible deniability earlier. That's what his booking was. It was plausible deniability. He wanted to do these things. Now, I'm not saying that every booker or every writer that has written things like that have done that or wanted to do that. I'll give you a good example. I don't like Vince Russo. I've never heard that Vince Russo has harassed, abused anybody like that. He wrote a lot of stories similar to that, but to my knowledge, he wasn't on screen grinding up on women and doing all these things that were very clearly just something that Vince McMahon wanted to do.
They spent a lot of time in this docuseries, a lot of time talking about the Trish Stratus, Linda McMahon storyline.
Yeah.
Maybe even more time than they needed to. And they showed Vince making out with Trish. They showed Vince putting her in compromising positions. And yeah, Vince kept on, his excuse was, well, that was the Mr. McMahon character and that was a television storyline. But then they would cut to people close to him. It'd be one thing if they were getting comments from someone that didn't necessarily have a good relationship with them, but they would get comments from Taker. They would get comments from Bruce Pritchard. And these people would say, well, the lines are pretty blurred between the Mr. McMahon character and the real Vince McMahon. And so it seemed, even if you're a casual fan, it seemed pretty clear that he made it with Trish because he wanted to. Sable because he wanted to.
Yeah.
Right.
He pitched a storyline impregnating his own daughter.
Right.
I saw an interview with David Shoemaker and Bill Simmons where he's like, yeah, we got like 4 hours of Vince interviews on the cutting room floor. I'll buy it.
Oh, the fans will want it.
That's a good point.
And somebody made a comment here, Zach M. He said the statute of limitation comment was wild. I forget who was that about? Was that about Rita Chatterton?
It was about Rita Chatterton.
Yeah.
He had denied it and then said it was consensual and then said, well, even if it was rape, the statute of limitations was up. And
he also settled with her.
He did settle with her.
He did.
I know he did.
Yeah. So why would you if it was consensual, right?
Before the settlement, I had reached out to Rita personally for comment, and I didn't get a comment back from her, but I got a comment back that's like, listen, there's some things going on that will make that not happen. And I was like,
you know, I gotta tell you, I as you know, I became a fan of wrestling in the mid-80s around WrestleMania 1, and I practically, as I got older and WWE was a big part of my childhood, I practically idolized Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
because I respected his business acumen, and he is the greatest promoter in the history of the business, the most influential figure in the history of the business. But at the same time, from the mid-90s onward, I've always known his reputation, always. I watched the Phil Donahue show when he was on there trying to defend allegations, the Terry Garvin stuff and the Mel Phillips stuff. I heard about the Rita Chatterton thing in the early 90s. I was well aware of this. I saw him go to the steroid trial with a neck brace. You know what I mean? And so even though, and obviously I'm not Bruce Pritchard, I'm not The Undertaker, I didn't work with him for 30 years. But even though I was a fan for so many years of WWE and of Vince McMahon to a degree, I'm able to see this other side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm able to see it. And I really think, so have you heard the report that Vince is looking to do a counter?
Jimmy, why would you say that?
When?
Oh my God. Stop reading every bull. I swear to God, if you tweet or just bark out any bullshit that some dumb motherfucker says on Twitter, the fucking doofus that posted that is widely known for just stealing people's shit, has no sources within wrestling or anything connected to it.
Okay. Well,
as of now, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Guy is a, somebody's saying Jimmy just asking, calm down. Come on. Not reputable.
I'm just asking. And the reason I'm asking is
you can ask. I can yell.
If I'm Vince McMahon's lawyers, All right. Yes. And you just said they got 4 hours of cutting room, cutting floor footage. If I'm Vince McMahon's lawyers, I'm watching this docuseries and I'm thinking, oh shit. Because sure. I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a litigator. I don't know how he comes out of this better than going in, knowing that the Janelle Grant lawsuit is on pause because of a federal investigation. The man sat in a chair and said, the other computer in my head tells me to have fun and have sex. While he's doing an interview with Netflix, Sean.
Yeah, of course.
Like, how do you possibly come out of this looking better? It's pretty stump. I don't know. It's a hard road to go down, man.
I agree. Tim says watching the Vince doc, all in one shot was rough on the mental health. Thought Shane came off looking great. That's a point I wanted to bring up. Said Hunter was a lot less pro Vince than I expected. He even subtly threw him under the bus. Well, I mean, I don't think it's a secret. They hadn't exactly been as close in the last few years.
Hunter knows where his bread is butter too, Sean.
Yeah, of course. It was definitely a succession play there. But the Shane thing, I thought Shane and Dave Meltzer came off looking great. Dave was hilarious. Dave had a couple of really important points. He fact-checked them, and then he talked about how Vince would degrade people publicly and people cheering about him, and he outlined why it is that men back then would probably cheer that type of thing, and it's because they could never get a woman that looked like that and probably took joy in seeing her degraded. And he's like, it's a sucky way to put it, but it's the truth. Shane was distanced so far from Vince, and one of the two big, like, we're talking about business things where they got like, okay, Vince, you're got, was the talent raid thing where he could not understand how much of a hypocrite he was being about WCW raiding talent when he did it. And then when he talked about Shane approaching him with the idea to buy the UFC and Shane being like, I'll run it. It's plug and play. I know the business. I can help with this. And then they go, oh, it sold for however many billion dollars.
Four
and Vince
billion.
Goes, he's like, well, that wouldn't have been a good investment then. If it was, Shane would have just done it himself. Well, it's okay to say you were approached with a good investment and you didn't invest in it. It's okay. But Shane was distanced pretty heavily here.
So I was fairly familiar with Vince's childhood because it's been talked about before. I kind of wish that they had been able to interview more people close to him in that regard. I know that his brother passed early in 21, so they couldn't have gotten him. His mother passed, I think she just passed the following year in 22, but she was over 100, Sean. So I don't know if she could have been interviewed. It would have been nice to kind of humanize him a little more with stuff like that. But I will say this, and I'm not a psychologist. I understand that Vince, you know, he didn't have a great fatherly relationship. He said his stepfather abused him. And wrestling is a very male-dominated, high testosterone business. I'm sure Vince felt the need to be tough, but I felt for Shane because all he wanted was the respect of his dad, and to see him talk in that documentary about how just getting a pat on the back was so hard for him to get. Paul Heyman telling the story about when they were having a fight over creative, and Vince basically said, if you want it so much, he's like, take your knife and stab me right here. You know what
Couldn't
I mean?
Believe it.
To say something like that about Shane. And here's something. In order to preserve that relationship with his dad, Shane walked away from a multi-billion dollar company. Now, granted, he's got inheritance coming. He's fine.
Yeah.
But he walked away from a multi-billion dollar company because he wanted to preserve that relationship with his dad. I felt for Shane. And like I said, I've heard so many positive stories about him over the years. And it was unfortunate that he had to step out for that reason because, you know, his dad just he didn't want to kill that relationship.
Mr. Costa says Tony Atlas was hilarious. He got so much time. I was surprised to see him in it. I remember in the 90s watching Tony Atlas at like, I think he was. And of course, at the time, I didn't realize Tony Atlas was just like 42 or 43.
Right.
I thought Tony Atlas in the 90s when he was on True Life, I'm a Pro Wrestler, was like 60.
Oh, really?
Then.
Yeah.
And he was a little wild then. But I was surprised to see him there. He was, listen, some of the stuff that he revealed was disturbing.
Yeah.
But also
Patterson stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The Patterson stuff. The Patterson claims he said,
yeah.
And I quote, he grabbed my pecker.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Netflix guy was like, he did what?
Yeah,
he grabbed what?
He did it. Yeah. But, I thought also Tony Atlas was very insightful too.
Yes, he was.
And he's like, who am I going to complain to? first thing is Vince, and he laughs at him. Yes. He's like, he's the booker. What are we doing?
Yeah.
But Tony Atlas was clearly like outspoken there. He was, I thought, very helpful in that sense. But another thing they covered was that there was no magic Vince dust anymore. They're like, WWE has excelled since then. And quite frankly, Jimmy, the two guys that, not me and you, not just any random fan, literally everyone that had a brain cell, the two guys, even three if you want to count Johnny Ace, because people saw him as well, Kevin Dunn, Vince McMahon, Johnny Ace, got gone from WWE. And what happened? Mm-hmm. It got way more successful, way more enjoyable, and is thriving now.
Could you have ever predicted in 97 when Shawn Michaels is in the ring with gauze and shorts and Hunter and Shine are standing behind him doing the suck it sign? Did you ever think in 97, honestly, that 25 years or so later, the two of them would be running the two WWE brands and doing it well? Could you have ever expected that?
Yeah, never, never,
never.
I'll tell you what else I wouldn't have expected. I just did an interview with Paul London. He told me he did motion capture for China at one point in a video game. Yeah.
So watching NXT last night, and Shawn's in the ring, and they got those new title belts, right? And Shawn's in the ring, and he said he used the WWE-isms. He said, we have new championship titles. And I watched that thinking to myself, this was the guy jumping up and down in the ring and standing behind the podium and saying all the bad words and everything. But now he knows the lingo. Like, man, they've come a long way. And but Hunter and Shawn are both doing well. Both of them. They're both doing a good job.
The doc briefing, he says, the doc briefing touched on Vince and possible male talent. Do you feel anyone would come forward? I don't remember that. I must have missed that.
And male talent in what regard?
I don't know if you meant like, I don't know if they meant like when it was indicated that Brock Lesnar was involved with the pictures and all that stuff.
It surprised me that they mentioned by name,
Yeah, they did. They outright mentioned Brock by name, which I was shocked that Triple H in a recent presser was like, oh, you know, well, Brock will come back whenever he comes. No. Now, listen, I had a meeting with a higher up in WWE around WrestleMania when I feel comfortable revealing this now. There were some people in the news sphere that were like, oh, well, Brock's coming back this weekend, and this was clearly set up for Brock. And I met with a higher up, and they said, Brock ain't fucking coming back anytime soon. They're like, do you know how much it costs us to have him removed from 2K? And they're like, to like cancel all his Rumble plans? Like, he was planning to face Gunther. He ain't coming. He wasn't coming back anytime soon.
And they also mentioned Ashley Massaro by name as well.
They did. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I hate that whole situation.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That whole
the military
situation.
Thing, the whole thing. Yep. Yep.
Oh, Jimmy, you got to hit the bricks. I do still have a few humper chats. Super
yeah,
chats,
I do. You take them over, and then I'll check in later on the AEW stuff.
All right, guys.
Cool. Thanks, folks.
So as mentioned, again, if you guys have any more to talk about, like with the Vince doc, please, by all means, send those in. But a reminder, we do have a Q&A every week on FightfulSelect.com. I'm there answering your questions. Best $5 in the business. We would greatly appreciate your support. Razor says, SRS, will Punk ever main event a Mania or Bad Blood? Will SRS interview CM Punk? Who said that CM is Raw number 1.25 draw on HBK, saying he smiled if CM Punk was his next successor. So, I'll address this point by point. And also, thank you very much for being so patient with this. Yes, I think he will main event a Mania. I think right now, Cody and Roman main event Bad Blood. Will I interview CM Punk? I would love to interview CM Punk. I don't think CM Punk would want to do an interview with me. He did one with Denise. I have spoken to CM Punk in the past, but the reality is most of the times when CM Punk and I have spoken, it's when something really bad has gone on. And both of us were kind of like, yeah, no offense, but kind of sucks to hear from you because it's usually when bad shit happens. But listen, CM Punk is one of my favorite performers of all time. And I think that his interview, the Colt Cabana interview that he did, is one of the most influential, if not the most influential, wrestling-based interviews of all time, considering the dominoes that fell. I have an incredible amount of respect for CM Punk. I'm sure that he doesn't like all the things that I report, and I haven't always agreed with things that he's said or done, but you know what? I have plenty of people that I know like that, but I could see CM Punk becoming the Shawn Michaels successor. Absolutely, I could see that for sure. What did Cody mean by a video package with title implications for Crown Jewel, a Mania 41 main event bigger than anticipated? I would imagine, listen, this is a hunch. I would imagine something involving The Rock. I would imagine something involving The Rock. Vince saying Undertaker didn't have a concussion at WrestleMania. Yeah, that was weird. Here's one that I've wanted to address. Sean, why did you let employees openly accuse Triple H of being a rape enabler and then cry when he called your site unreliable? Weird. So let me address this. None of those people are employees. They are independent contractors. They work, you know, 1 hour, maybe 90 minutes a week. I am not going to sit there and tell them what to say on Twitter. Now, if it is something accusatory or racist or something like that, I will approach them and say, you know what? I do not think that that's something that you should be saying. And that is something that I would never say. Cry when he called our site unreliable. So Triple H called me on the phone after that happened. We had a conversation. It was very spirited. We have had an exchange since then. It's been respectful. You are coming here to troll about a situation you don't know much about. Afterwards, I highlighted my feelings on that and then made a joke that they should send me French cheeses as a token of appreciation. And they did that as a nice joke. I gave the cheese away, kept the note. I appreciated them reaching out. I did not agree with Triple H's approach to that. I can tell you that the people higher up in WWE did not appreciate his approach to that. And I got an immediate apology regarding that from a lot of people, quite frankly. But listen, I don't have to agree with what all of the 40 people at Fightful say. And this person down here is bringing up a thing that I didn't agree with because I don't have those facts. But this person is trying to use it as a gotcha because he thinks that 40 plus people that work at one place should have a brain that works in unison. If you agree with every single person that you work with on every single issue, that is not a normal thing. That is not a normal place to be in. That is not a normal situation to be in. Like you absolutely shouldn't. I do not agree with the way that Alex Palowski reviews wrestling. I don't agree with a lot of the things that Reg says in that sense, but we can get along. I didn't agree with what that one person said, who, by the way, has never invoiced Fightful, has never been paid by Fightful. So you're going to have to work a little bit better on your gotcha here, buddy. What Triple H said was that we had reported the Drew Gulak thing incorrectly. I didn't report that he got released personally. I didn't report that he was released because of the Ronda Rousey thing. The Ronda Rousey thing absolutely contributed to Drew Gulak not being there, regardless of what anybody says. They were talking about creative plans. They had graphics cooked up for him after the terms of his contract would have been up. The person who reported that he was released should have clarified and said they're allowing his contract to expire. He has been informed of that. But again, you have to do a little bit better with that one, buddy. We got Cool Fool saying, very random question, but with new management, do you ever see Nancy Benoit inducted in the Hall of Fame as woman without mentioning Chris? She deserves her flowers for the work she did. No, I don't. But if that were to happen, I would see it as a legacy inductee. Like, you remember when they did those? I wish they would bring those back, honestly. Meet Norma says, meet update. Giving up on seeing Miro anytime soon. Will we see on Dynamite Lashley, Hobbs, or Wardlow do anything significant? Wardlow's injured. Hobbs just got cleared. Lashley is en route to AEW. So Lashley, yes. Hobbs, hopefully. Wardlow, not right now. How is Punk and Cody's relationship? Is Punk mad at, hold on, is that a Rock? I don't know if Punk is mad at Rock again. Punk has become a little bit of what he criticized The Rock of being. From what I understand, Punk and Cody's relationship is fine. In my conversations with Cody, he has never said anything negative about Punk. And that's more than I can say for a lot of people in WWE when that was first going around. You know what I mean? Hell of a week. We've lost Maggie Smith, Chris Christopherson, John Amos, Taggart from Beverly Hills Cop. Again, Frank from American Pickers as well. Pete Rose, Dikembe Mutombo. It's been a rough one, man. It's been a rough one. And also, respected Dikembe Mutombo for, you know, a lot of the things that he stood for. Tim McFall says, fun interview with Britt yesterday, Sean. Thank you. Says Jimmy, oh, whoops, sorry about that. Says Jimmy with the Rogers WBD deal in Canada and Rogers losing WDB. Do you see AEW moving to Sportsnet? So I can say this. This is what a lot of people are hoping internally, at least the Canadians that I'm hearing from. And I've had to kind of pick their brain a little bit about this because I'm not as hip to it. But I will have Jimmy answer this as soon as he can. But they're hoping that they get some sort of more stable platform in that sense. WWE Mark says pay-per-view on Max at a reduced cost is not good if we're already paying for Max. Not a fan of that if true. Wish it was like Peacock. I wish it was like Peacock as well. I'll explain it to you from AEW's line of thinking. It is the old Dana White point of once you cannibalize your pay-per-view business, you can't go back. And right now they have a base that is willing to pay for those pay-per-views, and they are very profitable. They do very well, those pay-per-views do. I think, and I'll continue to say this, if I were AEW, I would limit the matches to 8 and then spread out the matches, especially if you are adding another show. And as somebody points out, Max is already more expensive than Peacock. If they end up being like $10 with Max, okay, I guess. But still, I would include that in the cost, man. I really, really would. That was a bummer when I was reading that. But hey, the press release has not dropped yet. I get the feeling that once the press release drops, I'll be right back here live for a special edition. But by God, do you see Penta having a singles run in WWE? I could see him having a singles run in WWE. He is still under contract to AEW. He says he's willing to work. So if so, I would come back to work and do some stuff and finish out your run. But it was smart of him to babyface himself, saying, oh, I'm willing to do this. He was definitely talking with WWE. New Black City says, sending another chat as a thank you for being a real one and helping the hurricane victims. Well, thank you. That was very, very generous. If Giants beat the Bengals on 10-18, I should get a segment on a post show. Bengals win, donation to your favorite charity. I'll do that. New Lack City, you have supported us for so long. I would love to do that. I would absolutely love to do that. And speaking of, and also thank you so much for this generous Humper chat. That means so much. The fact that any of you are willing to subscribe for $5, much less send a super chat for any amount to give a shit about what we have learned or what we think means a ton to us, means an absolute ton to us. And this is sort of a down period in the wrestling media revenue time. So thank you all so much. And speaking of people who've made donations to my favorite charity, Matt says, any word on what happened with Black Label Pro? Yes. So this kind of came as a surprise to me. I performed for Black Label Pro a few times, to the wrestlers, to some people that are even involved in Black Label Pro. But from what I understood, just some burnout there and a lot going on. As best I've heard, nothing sinister, anything like that. If anything like that, you know, were to ever emerge, obviously, doesn't matter if I've worked hand in hand with them in the past. That shit would get reported. But I was actually finishing up some details on that. But it seems like a burnout situation right now. And best of luck to Mikey. He has always been really great. I'll say this. Here's one of the reasons I respect Black Label Pro so much. Whenever I do wrestling appearances, matches, anything like that, I don't accept money. I don't accept travel coverage, anything like that. I ask them to donate to a cause. And one of those causes was Toonami. I can't even remember what the Squared Circle Expo one was, but a few weeks ago, it was to a cause that was quite frankly, a teenage girl in our family took her own life, and the family was reeling from it. And the amount that Paragon and Black Label Pro donated as a result of that was more than anybody would have ever reasonably paid me to wrestle or make an appearance. And that means a lot, because I want to go out there, have a little bit of fun, raise a little bit of money. I'm very, very proud that Fightful and then my wrestling appearances since last December, we have raised over $20,000 for various causes. And we're talking about direct donations, not like, not the stuff that's like, oh, send us super chats and then we will donate it to whatever. I'm very, very proud of that. MASP says, could TK change his mind and let the Lucha Bros go if they put over people? Yeah, he could release them. It's a possibility. I don't want somebody to say, oh, Sean Ross Sapp says Tony Khan could. Because a few weeks ago, I didn't run a story. I answered a question where somebody goes, could Tony Khan buy out these Stardom contracts? I'm like, well, theoretically, yeah, it's possible. But I mean, doesn't mean it's happening. Yes, he could, but it doesn't mean that he will. Doesn't mean that he will. Oh, man, thank you guys to all of you that sent Super Chats and Humper Chats. Obviously, man, today has been a busy day. It's probably going to get busier. And I just want to thank all of you for giving a hoot. If something about the deal breaks, I will go live again. And then we will obviously talk about that on the post AEW show. Meet Normus says, here's another small snack sack of money for good cause. Does WWE have any women or minorities in the writers' rooms? WWE should be pushing Montez Ford the way AEW has pushed Swerve. I don't know about, you know, the makeup as far as diversity. I know is Ryan Ward still there? I think. Is he still there? But they do have Alexandra Williams, who does a lot of Drew McIntyre stuff as well. So, guys, thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up. Until next time, we are out.